From the Woodshed, a casual conversation with Chase Morrill and Ryan Eldridge of Kennebec Cabin Company, the team that inspired the hit show Maine Cabin Masters. From the Woodshed is brought to you by Nelma, see the stamp, trust the quality. By Hammond Lumber, your building project partner. By Kennebec Savings Bank, helping our local community save, thrive, and grow for over 150 years. And by Hero Media Network, connecting small business with new customers. Now, from the Woodshed Studios in Manchester, Maine, it's Chase and Ryan.
From the Woodshed, I'm Chase Morrill. With me, as always, Ryan Eldridge.
Hi, guys.
And today we have Jen filling in for Maggie.
Hi, guys.
Today's guest is Molly Shaw, the marketing manager from Saddleback Mountain. You can find us at KennebecCabinCompany.com, MaineCabinMasters.com, our Facebook, Instagram, YouTube channel, and check out our online store at shop.KennebecCabinCompany.com. And this wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, Nelma, Northeast Lumber Manufacturing Association, Hero Media Network, connecting small business with new customers, Hammond Lumber Company, the official building materials supplier of Kennebec Cabin Company, and Kennebec Savings Bank, helping our local community save, thrive, and grow for over 150 years.
How's it going, Jed?
It's good. Does your microphone ever get in the way of you seeing that?
I just memorized it.
Or you look to the side?
I don't have it memorized.
Oh.
We got in trouble for reading stuff all day today.
Gosh, we're doing more clip shows today, and there's a lot of reading and repeating and repeating. And
what's a clip show? Tell everybody what you're talking about.
10 best lakeside cabins.
Yeah.
The 10 best kitchen remodels.
So they kind of put it together. They make a script up, and we sit there, and yeah, they have...
It's interesting. It's a good way to though to see like footage that wasn't used and like stuff that was cut and deleted scenes.
Yeah,
but it's more like real TV, like teleprompter, and like it's just weird.
There's no teleprompter. It's a laptop propped up on a cardboard box on a chair to try and get it at our eye line.
Ghetto prompter. But then like, well, you can't look at the camera, and you got to look to the side, and then you kind of like remember your lines. Like, we're not actors, and. It's not more apparent than it was today.
Yeah. But we've had a lot of practice talking, so we should be very blah, 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 easy to...
Your vocal cords are all warmed up.
Yeah.
Are you going to sing a song?
Give us a tongue twister. We'll spit it right out at you, no problem.
Speak for yourself. Man, what a day. It's warm out.
Yeah.
I think I saw a negative 15 this week, and what was it, 55? It's a 70-degree stretch.
Yeah.
Welcome to mud season.
Welcome to mud season.
But the worst thing is, you know, like you think, oh, winter's over, but no.
No, not
another
even.
Week, and that it goes back and forth, up and down.
Not even close. We could still get a few major storms. I mean, more than a few.
I read the weather patterns for March are going to get a little interesting, which is good.
Yeah. We like interesting.
Interesting in what way?
Like this, like the high pressure right now, the way the currents are, like. It's dry. March is going to, we're going to get like 3 or 4 major ones. A couple nor'easters, cool. Inside runners.
Sweet. Alberta Clippers.
Alberta Clippers. I actually thought I was speaking foreign language when I was saying that. I'm like, you don't know all that stuff?
I was listening to the weather on WBLM and they're like, oh, we've got an Alberta Clipper coming through. I'm like, I hope Ashley's listening right now.
You know, some people just aren't weather people.
Yeah.
You're not much of a weather person though.
No.
Because I'd be like, oh, it's going to rain tomorrow. What do you want to do with the crew? And she's like, oh, what?
It's going <It's gonna> to rain?
But you don't watch the news in the morning?
Nope.
See, that's my problem. I watch the news. And then, like, they're only right, like, half the time. God love them. Are you a news person?
I used to be, and then I stopped watching the news when COVID hit, actually. Because it was just, like, affecting my soul. My mental health was at stake. So I no longer watch the news. But I do have like 3 weather apps on my phone that I check and my watch and
I mean, really all I care about is how much snow we're going to get.
Right.
You know, when I have to plow, how often do I have to plow? But.
And then half the time it's all over the place.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. That hour in the morning is like my time. But sometimes like I could do something else besides like have a couple cups of coffee, watch the news, read on my phone. Like
I've been learning Spanish when I drink my coffee.
That's good.
Start watching news in Spanish.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
After a year?
I'm always like, I'm going to get up and start walking the dogs. And like, no. 10 below, 12 below. They won't even go outside.
No.
Like,
No, not at all.
I'll take the nice cup of coffee and watch the news for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird the film crew's back this time of year.
It is. To be starting camps right now is not normal. And it was cold.
Oh, it was brutal. The whole time I knew Chase was thinking, like, why the hell did I do this? Why the hell? But the reason we did it is because we were kind of, you know, we had some projects lined up, working, doing some side stuff, and then things got askewed, and we looked at a couple other projects, and they're like actually ones we could do now, because you can't start
right.
a cabin in Maine, because you start with the foundation. But both of these projects didn't have that problem.
But if we had gone out looking for projects, we could start. We wouldn't have found it.
Never would have found. We've never found anything
yeah,
like this.
But it's like, because we weren't looking, they just kind of presented themselves, and we're like, well, take advantage of the opportunity. So here we are.
Yeah, when they're like, when you don't camp back, oh, 8, 9 weeks, 10 weeks, and you're like, oh, May 1st. Like, it's weird. It'll be interesting, because normally we start these camps, and like, we were talking today about Camp PMS. When we canoed in, it was like 95, 100% humidity, and when we gave it back, it was like 20 below.
Yeah.
Like that weather swing.
Yep.
But we'll be going with the weather this time, so.
Yeah, and it, you know, it does. It makes for an interesting episode when you start out doing the arrival in the snow and cold.
Normally, we have to paint first.
Yep.
And then worry about it. Now we're just like, oh, we'll paint right the last day. Nothing to worry about. And then, of course, this will be the spring that goes on, you know, the winter that goes on forever.
Right. But that's all right. We'll roll with it.
I really do think part of, like, weather in Maine was what makes the show. Because the worse the weather is, or the crazier it is, the more we struggle, the better TV is.
Yeah.
Like in Florida, I mean, it'd be, oh, it's going to rain at 3 today for 5 minutes.
Right.
That's exciting as it gets. Maybe once in a while a hurricane, but like.
Just once in a while.
But you know what I'm saying.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
What's that famous saying? If you don't like the weather in Maine, wait 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think they said that everywhere.
I was going to say, I feel like everywhere says that.
I don't know if.
Maybe northern.
I don't think Arizona says that, right?
Nah, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I have heard it some places, but I think Maine can attest to that.
Yeah, Maggie is ski racing today. They're in the States right now.
They're at Saddleback, right?
They're at Saddleback.
Maybe Molly can give us a live
update.
That's
right, that's right. An inside tip for her. Be like, hug it tight on turn 5.
Get him good with the groomers. Like, yeah,
right.
Man, did you notice we went skiing last week, and we must have been on the trail that they race on, because there was a couple times I hit those like big divots that the racers make. They hadn't gotten it with the groomer. I almost ate it hard.
So what's the strategy? Do you want to go first, last, or in the middle? Close to the first, I would think.
Close to the first.
But not first.
But not first.
Get a couple tracks to follow, and then.
You say, is it good to have the track? Like, does it help you?
It doesn't, no. I don't think. Because they're constantly, like, slipping it to try and knock some of those down.
I bet there's like a fine line. They probably done the research. Like if you're the 7th to 8th person during a certain type of snow, it's perfect. But after that, it starts to get mealy and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and they'll actually like salt the courses too to make them icier if it's not icy. Have you ever seen them do that?
No, I think I have.
Yeah. No, never.
Like after a big storm, they'll go out and they'll, I don't know if it's actually salt that they use, but they put something that like ices the courses up.
I have seen out west, they'll like, oh, we're having like a competition day, so they'll give you a free pass. You come in and like, pack down like the jumps and stuff. Interesting.
Huh. Yeah. But yeah, so she's up there. Well, they're both, Nori and Maggie are up there. Mimi Peggy's up there. They're all staying at the Buccaneer.
Nice.
Yeah, so they're.
Bring some medals back to the Buccaneer. Funny you ask.
Fletcher's holding down the fort at Mimi Peggy's.
Oh, yeah.
Fletcher might have gotten not got picked up today. You had a busy day.
Yeah, back in the saddle.
You can't do it all.
That's right. He made it home.
You're without a truck. You got your daughter's car.
Yep. Filming, podcast.
The ski team has your van.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
Every once in a while, a kid falls through the cracks. All right?
Hey, thank God it's him. He's tough. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll never forget one time. I think Nori was in kindergarten, and she got dropped off at my parents' place, and nobody was home. And, you know, she just hung out.
The bus was gone. The
bus was like long gone. So she hung out, and somehow she had the know-all to call me. She left a voice message. She's like, hey, it's Nori. I'm at me and Pappy's. Nobody's here right now, so I'll just hang out for a little while. Maybe I'll go for a walk. And, I mean, you know, she was little, so But she knew what to do, of course.
Funny how, like, how each of the kids would respond in that situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maggie would have flipped out. I can say that because she's not here.
All right, well, on that note, let's check out this nice video by Benjamin Moore on the break, and we'll get right back to you with Molly Shaw from Saddleback Mountain.
And we are back with Molly Shaw, the marketing manager for Saddleback Mountain. Hey, Molly, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys today?
We're doing well. Nice to see you.
Yeah.
So
got to take a few runs with Ryan the other day. That was fun.
That was fun. We're going to take a lot more, too. So now you get to have a virtual water, coffee, or beer with us. We always start this guest segment out. Normally people are with us, but right now we're doing it virtually. So what are you going to have?
I have a seltzer water. You can't see it, actually. My background.
That's cool. I don't know if I can do that to Chase.
Woo! So,
you know, Chase and I are going through our little stash back here. Some of it's been here for a while, but anything you like?
I'll grab that Kushnok right there.
Nice local Kushnok. Great place. The Krish Kolsch.
Thank you.
Something like that.
Something like that.
I'm going to bring out my tough side and go with a warm, truly wild berry today. Jen's over there.
Jen, you want anything?
I'm good, thanks.
Oh, come on.
Tempting.
You good?
Tempting. I have water.
See, look, I'll pour that right in here. Nice woodshed glass.
So my daughter was up today racing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the Class B state champs here. Yeah. So it's been, the mountain has been alive with a lot of activity today.
A lot of high schoolers.
Yes.
Nice.
And it continues into the day tomorrow. So, yep, two days. How did she do? Did she have good?
Yeah, I think, I looked at her timing. She was middle of the pack. I don't know how Miranda Cook did overall, but, yeah, it was GS today and tomorrow's slalom. So, yeah, it's exciting.
It's been pretty neat to watch Chase lately, though, because he's on his phone. I'm like, because Chase isn't really a phone guy, you know? Like, he's just not. He uses his phone for business, but he's not like a, he doesn't on the World Wide Web and all that crap. And like, what are you doing? He's like checking, updating, checking stats, updating, looking for like up to date races.
Yeah.
And I think, man, when we were kids, you'd have to look at the local paper like 5 days later,
and
then the print was like that big. Like technology is pretty awesome.
Livetiming.com.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. If you watched it online,
yeah,
you can stream it. Right. Yeah. Pretty cool.
I went to a race at Kent Hill this year. It was so pretty cool to see him. Like, you know, they take it serious. Like, to see my niece Maggie, like, how she's grown. And, I mean, I can't keep up with her anymore.
No.
And, like, see her competitive side come out. And you tell us how she's into, you know, waxing now. Like, pretty neat.
It is.
Kids love it.
Yeah.
I bet it's fast today.
Speaking of cool live technology, we have functional webcams on the Saddleback website now. Yeah. If you go from our top navigation, there's a drop down by where the little temperature icon is. And there's a link for webcam. And there's one down at the base area. There's one at the top of the Rangeley Quad. And there's one where we call the top of the world or the top of the Kennebago. And what's really cool about these, the feature I just learned the other day, is you can actually, there's little icons in the lower menu bar for there's little sun icons, and you can click on either of those, and it will replay the last sunrise or sunset in the last 24 hours.
Nice.
You don't have to be an early bird. You can watch the sunrise from any time. Yeah, I was mind blown. I was like, that's so cool. So, yeah, definitely something to check out on our website.
Nice. So how's everything going this season?
You know, it's been going great, and I was just thinking the other day, like, it's flying by already. Like,
it really is.
Yeah. You know, we've had, luckily Mother Nature's been kind to us. We've had over 100 inches of snow to date, and more hopefully on the way. We did have a little rain event today, but it's just been drizzle. So fortunately it's not, you know, causing too much damage. but our man-made trails and natural trails are holding up great. So we're definitely heading into what's going to be a great, you know, second half of the season skiing and riding. So, you know, we're coming into some of the best days of the year. You know, you can't beat a nice day on the deck in March, hanging out, getting that goggle tan.
So you can actually feel the sun.
Yeah.
I've already got four days in this year. The last couple of years, I had a rough go of it. This year, I'm getting back. I miss the days of having like 100-plus days, and now I'm like four bragging about it. But we've had a lot of good fun up there already.
It's changed so much. You know,
for people that aren't familiar with you guys, you know, you guys opened up last year in the pandemic, and what you guys have done is pretty amazing. And you guys are still constantly got all kinds of new stuff in store. Can you kind of tell us what else you guys got going on?
Yeah, so last season was our first season back in operation. We had been closed for 5 years, but we've done a ton of improvements to the mountain. Somewhere in the range of over $30 million has been invested. So, you know, last season it was our Rangeley high-speed quad, which takes you up to not the top, but about midway up the mountain in under 5 minutes. And then this summer we installed a new T-bar. We have a moving carpet down at the beginner area. We're working on getting our rope tow up and running, so that will allow people to get up to the terrain park easier. Just lots of improvements, major lodge improvements as well. Our lodge is fully renovated, it's a beautiful space. And just excited to be back. And, you know, I grew up skiing here myself, so just excited to be able to get out and enjoy these trails and all the terrain that we have. If you're not familiar with Saddleback, we're the third largest in Maine. We have over 600 acres of terrain, advanced terrain from the Kennebago steeps, where we have our Casa Blanca glades, which are hand-cut glade terrain that is, you know, some of the best in the East. Maybe I'm a little biased.
But
it's definitely some of the best in the East. We also have awesome beginner area, our South Branch area that spans the lower half of the mountain. So yeah, we're definitely the big mountain. We're definitely up there with some of the bigger players. But you'll definitely find that the experience will be, you know, friendly. I've only waited in maybe a 10-minute lift line all season. You know, we're just not very crowded. It's a great experience. If you haven't been here, definitely encourage you to make the trip up to Rangeley. Rangeley is just a beautiful place in itself. And then you got Saddleback in the backyard here, which really is the icing on the cake.
We can second, third, and fourth that all.
Yeah, for sure.
We actually lost Dixie to Rangeley. He's up there all the time. He loves it up there. So can't say I blame
him. Yeah, he's sort of my neighbor, actually.
Yeah. He's a good person to have in your neighborhood.
That's right. If you need a toe strap anytime.
when we've gone up, it's been a great little bit of tiny lines, but everyone's nice and just get a lot of skiing and a lot of value for your money. And that new lift just changes everything. Yeah. Spreads people out, and it's just a whole new ball game.
Now, at the top of the main lift to the right side, as you're getting off the lift, I noticed some construction in there. Is that where the new upper lodge is going to be, do you know what's going on up there?
Yes. So if you're looking like at our trail map, there's a little intersection of woods between Hudson Highway and the Jitterbug crossover trail.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like if you're getting off the Rangeley lift and you're kind of looking at the woods to your right, we are building a mid-mountain lodge. So we'll have a on-mountain food and beverage experience. And it's a really cool project, very unique, because we've worked with, you know, Maine Audubon and a bunch of different environmental organizations to make sure that, you know, when you're developing in that type of sensitive environment at that elevation, that we're not, you know, presenting harmful impacts to any of the, particularly birds, actually. There's a lot of native birds and some endangered species that live in that part of the elevation of the mountain.
You guys got some pretty interesting birds, right? You can feed them. Don't you have the gray jays?
Yeah. Gray jays.
Yeah, you can actually feed them up there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You put out your hands, they'll come right up. Yeah, so the Mid-Mountain Lodge, it's about 2,600 square feet. fully like glass panes. It's like a triangular footprint, and it will look out over the beautiful views that we have here of Ranger Lakes and the Western Maine Mountains. And it will be open to the public for, you know, to stop in. You can have a beer, snack, enjoy the view. And then in the summer, we're hoping to be able to use it for events and weddings. Construction has been delayed. We started clearing the site, but feasibly during mid-season in the middle of winter, we're not actively building right now. But as soon as spring comes, we'll be back on that project, and we're looking hopefully to complete that by next fall. So it'll be the place to be next season. So yeah, a lot of investment, a lot of projects going on here. Just expanding on what people know about Saddleback, which is a friendly place, great terrain, and now we're kind of taking things to the next level. So it's exciting. Yeah.
Nice.
Have you seen drawings of it? It's pretty cool. It has a living roof, correct? I believe, like, you know, it's a living roof on top, and like it really blends right in. That's what I like about Saddleback is you guys put the environment first, the town first, the people first. You know, it's not just about getting people on the hill and getting money out of their pockets. It's about creating, you know, something that's going to last for a long time.
Yeah, those aluminum cups, those recycled aluminum cups when we were there.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those?
Ranger's cutting edge.
Yeah, I have a stack in my office that I rotate my beverages in.
I mean, how many other skiers do you think have a collaboration with, like, the Audubon Society? Right. I mean, when you actually think about that, it's pretty amazing. Because Appalachian Trail comes through up there, correct? The back side of the mountain?
It crosses our summit. Yep, the AT crosses the summit here and goes over to the Horn and continues on towards, like, the Bigelows. So we're definitely, conscious of development in this environment because it really is a pristine environment. Like you look around and I heard we had Snow Country here filming the other day and she described being at Saddleback as like being in a Bob Ross painting. I was like, wow, that's a pretty good.
We've seen the Bob Ross trees.
Yeah. Lots of happy trees.
Yeah,
so many happy trees. So, I mean, it's definitely, we're very fortunate to have this as our playground. So we're keeping that in mind. But Mid Mountain Lodge will be really exciting. We also have an employee housing project that's we'll break ground on in the spring. Yeah, so it's down at the lower part of the mountain, South Branch, and that is expected to have about 100 beds, which is really critical because if you talk to, you know, anyone in the ski industry, I mean, it's not really unique to the ski industry, but the labor shortage and labor problems are definitely real. So especially in this area, you know, it's harder for people to find housing. So we're trying to kind of build this employee housing to directly address that issue for us. So it'll be ski in, ski out, actually, which is really cool.
Really?
I'm going back to being a ski bum. I'm trying to think of any skiers in the East. I know out West, a lot of them have it. You know, and it's legendary. But any in the East do you know of that offer employee housing? Ski areas? I can't think of any. I lived in employee housing. In Steamboat. It was the time of my life.
Sorry, Ryan.
They had...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call it the ghetto in the meadow. I mean, it was like six of us in this little place. Like, it was so awesome. And
in the meadow.
What was the one at Jackson Hole? They had the that old hotel. There was one right over there by the moose that
they had employee housing there?
Well, it was like that old hostel. Remember that place?
No.
There's the one in is it Alter, the one up there's one up there that's pretty legendary.
Yeah. Yeah, Colorado I feel like has more than anyone, but I know it's something that all the resorts are currently battling is the housing shortage and affordable housing shortage, which is the big thing. Airbnb has taken off. So I just saw a thing that Carabasset Valley is actually working on a plan for affordable housing for employees because they can't get any staff.
Yeah, it's really the only way you can live. Do it.
Yep. So good on Saddleback.
Yeah, this is a big project. Like I said, about 100 beds. And it'll be year-round housing too. So anyone who works here, not just this. Yeah, I mean, we obviously have a surge of people here in the winter, so we have staff to accommodate that. But this will also help hopefully serve businesses in the Rangeley area too, like the restaurants and bars and things that they need help just as much as we do year round. So it's exciting. We're hoping to break ground this spring, and yeah, there'll be more info to come, but lots of cool stuff going on. Also in development, kind of have some new developments on our mountain biking that will be happening this summer. So we have existing mountain bike trails in the lower portion of the mountain, and this coming summer we are purchasing the equipment to have lift service mountain biking, so you'll be able to ride the South Branch lift, which is our beginner lift, beginner quad, and actually attach your bike and ride the lift with your bike and lap the trails. So yeah, we're bringing mountain biking into the scene here too, because it's already big in this area. So,
and those aren't your old school just little dirt trails, those are the ones with banks and log jumps and stuff like that. Like, I would hurt myself.
Yeah.
We missed that one. Gotta love lift service gravity sports.
That'll be huge. There's been a big need for that. I know Sunday River is the only one that's does it right now, and downhill mountain biking is huge. So,
and that's another great thing.
Yeah, you have Mount Abram. I think they mm-hmm. have a pretty consistent operation, but we just feel like it's something that there's a lot of people here locally already doing it, so you know, why not give them an even bigger playground to do that, and it'll hopefully draw some people from away as well.
That's one thing about Rangeley that sticks out to me, is that at the year round there's always something. Every season it seems like there's something going on. Like, it's known for fly fishing, you know, like, aren't all the trails named after flies or fishermen or something like that?
Yeah, we have like an angler theme here where
the woolly booger.
The lifts are actually the woolly bugger.
Woolly bugger.
Or booger if you're my 10-year-old son.
Woolly booger. The lifts are actually named after rivers and lakes. Mm-hmm. So like you have Rangeley, obviously Rangeley Lake, Cupsuptic T-Bar, Cupsuptic Lake, and then the trails are all like fly ties. So you've got Grey Ghost, which is like a really famous fly. It's cool. Google it, because it's really like pretty neat. I've spent some time looking at all the different flies. I'm not a fisherwoman myself.
Fisher person.
My dad is fisher person, but my dad is. And it's, so that's the theme that we have. We've got the trout train too, for ski school. That's like transportation.
And ski races.
I'll do that.
Ski school and getting the racers and their fan squad up the hill. Surprised you didn't come for a trout train ride, Chase.
Oh, I would have today, but we were filming, so I had to miss this one.
You got a lot of skiing this year, don't you? You've been all over the place.
A lot of race watching.
He's like the ski coach chaperone.
Yeah. The bus driver. do you have snow biking, fat tire biking, I mean, cross country, you snowshoeing, right? You've got a great cross country set, Nordic area set up.
Yeah, so the right on our access road is the Rangeley Lake Trail Center. So they're a nonprofit, they're an independent operation.
Oh, okay.
They're not like under Saddleback, but they're right there. And yeah, their cross country trails are amazing. They're a great organization. It's really affordable to go use their trails and to rent equipment. So, we have all that literally right down the road. We do have here, we have our own uphill path, which is really, really interesting because it was something that we developed last season, and it's been seeing a lot of use and a lot of people new to uphill trying it out. It starts at the base area, winds outside of Hudson Highway, and up, and it goes all the way to the summit. So if you have touring gear, so if you have like skins for your skis, or if you are snowboarding, you have a split board, that's a dedicated uphill route, which is, it's a cool way to experience Saddleback if you're, you know, if you're new to it.
Sure.
It winds through the woods, not on all the marked trails, but it's it's really cool. I did it a few times last season. I actually haven't done it yet this year, but that's what spring. That's what I'm hoping the spring days are for, when it's nice. You can be out there in a t-shirt.
How long does it take you, roughly, the average person?
Yeah, probably about an hour and a half to the summit. The trail crosses right by where the Rangeley lift comes out. So you could, if you didn't want to summit, you could, you know, just go that far, and that would probably take you less. But yeah, I'd say an hour and a half, maybe two hours, depending on how, you know, if you're really hoofing it or not.
I'm always having a great run, feeling good about myself, and I see someone hiking up the hill, and I'm like, so lazy.
Show offs.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing now. Like, all the skiers are dealing with that. Yeah. It's great. Diversify.
Yeah.
What's your favorite trail on the mountain?
Oh, good question. I am partial to, well, depends on the weather. You know, obviously, if it's snowy and powdery, you catch me in the trees. So, Thrombosis is one of my favorite glades. It's right like mid-mountain,
yeah.
So it holds the snow really well. And then if I want to just rip a groomer, Silver Doctor. I think I took you and Jen there, actually. I took you on a long run from America down to Silver Doctor, I think, last time. Yeah.
I think I know Chase's. Chase's a mule skinner, right?
Mule skinner.
And that's a famous trail that you guys kind of have. That's quite an adventure going over there.
Yeah, mule skinner.
Yep.
You got to hike over
it.
15, 20 minutes, and it's all natural. And
yeah. You never know what the conditions are going to be, but it's fun.
I like that one. Is it tight line? The one that's like going towards me, going to straight down.
Yes.
And that's Chase's.
Yeah, tight line.
Fletcher loves that.
Vertical drop on the mountain.
It's the real deal.
That's a fast one.
Fast and steep. Well, any special events coming up?
Yeah, Highline, you look over the edge and right? You're like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
This is steep.
I was sitting there with my nephew last year. And
if you
he's
don't
kinda
like heights, if you don't like heights, don't go to Highline.
Fletcher drops right in at like 90 years old. These people are just like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see little kids like sending it. They're like, oh, yeah, we got this. And they're just, yeah, it's awesome.
Fearless.
Did you just ask about events?
Yeah, I heard there might be some really cool special events coming up in March. I heard a rumor or two. Yeah. I didn't know if you knew anything about that
anything
else.
Let me think. I don't know. Who would that be?
So, what is it, Jen?
Yeah, we've got a... What?
Go for it, Molly.
Well, we have our friend, the main cabin master. Coming over, it's Sunday the 13th. You guys will be here all day at the mountain, and we're doing a Baxter tap takeover, I believe, too, in the pub, some apres with Baxter. So that's looking to be quite an afternoon.
Yes, we want everyone to come up and go skiing with us.
Yes, come ski with us.
Yes.
Or at least drink with us and spend your money in the bar.
Yeah. Take a photo with us.
Yeah. We'll be doing photos on top of the new lift. Mule skinner photo.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, top of tight line. But yeah, well, so we'll be up there the 13th. I know we're gonna come up on our employee ski day. We had a great time last year in the fall, in late spring. What else?
Maybe we should organize like a group run. Like meet us at the top of Kennebago at this time and you can ski with the main cabin masters.
We call that a party lap.
There we go.
Party lap. I'm into that.
Schedule party it. Lap. Let's book it, Molly.
Right to the Baxter right. Tap takeover.
Yep. Before
probably
or after?
Have to do a trail. Probably Grey Ghost. I mean, it's nice and wide.
First one to the bar drinks are free.
Get everybody to wear their main cabin master t-shirts. Right. It'll be great.
We're going to promote responsible drinking.
We've also drinking. In April, we've got our closing, not our closing weekend, but we're not necessarily sure the specific closing date yet, but towards the end of the season, on Saturday, April 9th, we're bringing back Spring Bash. We had Spring Bash last year, and it was awesome. I think a bunch of you guys were there.
Actually. Mallet Brothers, right?
Yeah, we had the Mallet Brothers last year. We're looking at, we haven't officially booked it yet, but we're looking at Motor Booty up there, potentially.
Nice. Bring your bell bottoms.
Yeah. So we're going to get funky. It's going to be fun. We'll have a pond skim. We'll have a rail jam that weekend in the train park. We do the cardboard box race for the kids. in a band, and just hopefully a beautiful spring day like we had last year. It was awesome.
It was amazing.
I was out in my t-shirt for sure. Yeah, getting the goggles tan. So, Saturday, April 9th, that'll be an awesome weekend. More info to come on that for sure.
And it's all on your...
It's
on your website and all the social media accounts. You guys have you've done a great job with social media this year. So
thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, thank you.
Molly, you guys are doing a lot more summer stuff too, right? A lot more weddings and that kind of thing this year.
Yes, we have a few weddings already on the books, but we're definitely booking more. We're hoping to do more summer concert series too. We'll line some more outdoor concerts up. Last summer we did some beer dinners in the pub and, you know, some guided hikes. Also guided bike tours too, the mountain bike tours. So that'll be something if you're, you know, brand new to mountain biking and you want to come and rent a bike and get a lesson from our team. We'll have that too right here at the mountain. So yeah, just, you know, As you guys know, because you know and love Rangeley, it's just, yeah, the fun never ends up here. You know, even mud season, we have stuff to do. So
not many places can say that.
It's true.
Yeah. So we're really looking to be and become a four-season, you know, destination and resort. So, definitely growing our summer offerings as well.
Nice. All right. Do we have some fan questions?
We do have some fan questions. All right. So Drew Chase would like to know, how does skiing in Maine compare with skiing around the rest of the country?
If you can ski in Maine, you can ski anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great question. And yeah, that's very true. They say if you can ski the East, you can ski anywhere. Cause you know, we've been spoiled this winter with lots of snow, but every now and then we get those seems to be more and more lately, some of the more bare winters. So yeah, if you can ski like our hard packed surface, you can ski
I think
pretty well anywhere.
Although skiing powder is, I think, way more tiring and tough than skiing on ice sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can just fly to, if your edges are sharp, but like you start getting into powder and you're not ready for it.
Oh yeah, sweating.
It's exhausting.
But if you, I think Eastern skiers are definitely tougher. Like,
sure,
it's definitely colder, and the ice, like,
yeah,
it's you learn the hard way here.
Like, we're a hardy bunch here.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine growing up skiing out west and moving to Maine to ski.
Right.
I don't think they do that.
I do agree with you though, Chase. I remember my first like real powder experience. I went out to visit friends in Whitefish, Montana, and they got 3 feet of snow like in the 3 days that we were there. Like it was just absolutely dumping. And you know, I consider myself a pretty good skier. I've been doing it all my life, but I was on the wrong ski. I was on like these skinny skis.
Yeah, 190.
And I was getting buried. I just kept getting stuck, and I was like, my legs are so tired, and
yeah, it's a whole different style, and
yeah,
it's fun, but it's a lot of work.
First time I went out west, we were at Tahoe, some friends, and we're out there at 8 a.m. You know, because in the East you go out early, get rumors. No one, like, is this place even open? No one's even there till 11. By the third day, we realized out west you let it warm up in the spring, like soften up. Then it was crazy from like 11 to like 5 p.m. And by then we were tired. Like, took me a little while to get it, but.
All right, we have another question by Sue Swanson. I'd like to learn how to ski. Is Saddleback a good place for beginners?
It's where I learned to ski.
Did you?
Yep. So, yes, it is a good place.
Definitely. Our beginner, what's cool about our mountain is if you look at the our trail map, you can see that like the terrain is very much segmented by difficulty level. So like everything from the base lodge down is our South Branch area, and it's pretty much all green terrain, and it doesn't intersect with upper level terrain. So you don't have any of those like hairy cross cuts where there's a bunch of like skiers and riders converging on a beginner trail. So you definitely, there's definitely like a a safe and chill like area where you can learn if you are new to the sport. And we have the moving carpet this year. So if you've never been on a lift, the carpet can get you up the slope enough to start to learn the fundamentals. Our ski school team is great too. I will say that I'm, you know, personal friends with the ladies who run it, and they're just like awesome people. Like they just really love to see people learning and just want to see more people get into the sport. So definitely not an intimidating experience here is from my perspective. Yeah. So
the magic carpet's in a tube, in a clear bubble almost, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's covered.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's pretty slick.
Yeah, so for those for those cold days.
Right.
Yeah,
for
those cold days.
They want you to like it, which is smart.
It is.
I mean, I definitely encourage, no matter what age, to try it because it's a great, you know, winter hobby and, like, gets you out. And, like, winter goes by a lot faster if you like to ski or be outside.
Yes. Now, have you ever seen, I think they have one up in Quebec, those cross-country skate trails? Where the whole thing is ice for miles and you just skate, like do a tour on ice skates.
I have seen that. It's pretty cool.
That would be fun.
Maybe you guys should be the first
one. That sounds cool.
Designed by Chase Moreland and Cabin Masters. I see a collaboration.
We'll take our little groomer out. A little Zamboni on wheels.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Just some off-road speed skating.
Right, yeah.
That's it.
Doesn't sound dangerous at all.
We'll start on flat surfaces.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was great.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. It's always good to see you. Can't wait till you're back at the mountain.
Yeah, you'll see us sooner than later, for sure.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Molly. And, yeah, we'll see you on the slopes.
See you, Molly.
Sounds good.
Bye, Molly.
See you out there. Thanks, guys.
All right, and we are back with Project Pointers. Project Pointers are brought to us by our friends at Benjamin Moore, the official paint and stain supplier of the Kennebec Cabin Company. If you've got a project you're working on, need a little help or advice, or just talk it over with somebody, send us an email at podcast@maincabinmasters.com. As much detail and photos as possible will help, and we'll try and guide you the right way. No promises, but we'll see what we can do.
I'm looking at that, and I'm...
Wait, that's the video?
God. Yes.
So, oh, I thought that was like the screensaver.
No.
I'm not liking
this
that.
This is by Cindy Richardson, who apparently you met this summer.
It's not Poison Ivy. I know that.
I know, but that's all I can think of when I look at that.
No. Do I just press?
Hit the space bar, I think.
Hi, Chase and Ryan. It's Cindy Richardson here from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. I met both of you at the fan event this summer at the Woodshed. And one of the things I asked Chase was how do you get rid of a black walnut tree naturally? It's been cut back as far as they would go because the fuel line has grown, or the tree has grown over the fuel line. Ooh. So we cut it back, and Chase and I talked about using copper nails, which I did, and it grew back.
Oh, how'd that?
I put about 10 copper nails into it, and as you can see, all the
it's thriving
has come right back. And the reason that I can't use poison on this is because over there is the well. And we're about 200 feet from the well, I guess. So any other suggestions would be greatly appreciated. Let me know what you think. Good talking to you.
Well, first question, is that a yard right now all like green and stuff? Or is this a stock video?
No, it must be, right?
I had to go down a little ways in the emails to find out. So it could have been submitted this fall.
That's a black walnut tree, huh?
I guess so.
However, I really laughed when I saw that video.
That is awesome. They obviously thrive on copper. I've dealt with that before, though. Like, you know, you have like an underground line or something, and, you know, over time a tree gets bigger. Like, a lot of times you'll have to like grind the stump down, but a tree will die, but that thing is not.
Well, yeah, some plants, you cut it down. Some trees, you cut it down, it's dead. You know, then you just have to deal with the stump. Other ones, they just start sending shoots up, or they'll, like sumac, it'll branch out, send them up other places.
That kind of looked like sumac.
It did.
See, I expected a black walnut tree to be like more like a tree in tree form, like with a trunk and roots and like.
Yeah, maybe that's what I thought. So what it is it's, she probably cut down a decent sized trunk and it's just sending up all sorts of sucker shoots, right? Saplings and just.
Because that's the worst. So you cut down, like, you're clearing, like, a little lot. Like, you get it down to a stump, and then, like, 6 months later, you have all these little trees growing up. Like,
yeah.
You got to go back down
and
cut them again. Cut them again. Or pull the stumps out.
And she doesn't want to use a poison, which is good.
Goat.
Goat?
You get a pet goat and just keep it there.
Right?
Would a pig root it up? Borrow a neighbor's pig.
I've always heard that that's a way to get rid of stumps, is you bury corn cobs down around a stump. And a pig will root down in and dig it up enough to at least start rotting out the roots. But
really?
But if you have something that you don't want there, you know, if there's a fuel line that you don't want to do, I wouldn't necessarily. What else could you do? Put a tarp over it, right?
Deprive it of sunlight.
Smother it.
I'm going to say, isn't there like something you can put over it?
Piece of old carpet?
No, like a paint or something that would.
They, paint every tip though, like that'd be a lot. Get out the marker. I have seen him do that before. I don't know. I'd say a goat. Or actually, I'd just chance it the poison doesn't get in the well.
Or you could find out just what type. Well, so there's a couple black walnuts at my mother's place. Old, you know, big ones. You could find out what type of soil those thrive in. Whether it's acidic or, you know, really basic soil, and, you know, lay down, you know, if it's a plant that loves rich nutrients, then you would deprive it of that. Put something like lime down or something, ash or something that would really, you know, isn't bad for the environment, but would starve it of nutrients.
Battle it with science.
Right. Or if it's something that likes, you know, like lilacs like soil to be not very low in nutrients. So you could kill it with over-fertilizing it, something like that.
I bet you could reach out to, like, a local arborist. They might have, like, a trick or, you know, local college or something.
Yeah. Or try wax, right?
Does wax work?
Try it. Try some beeswax. Melt it down. Brush it on the areas and.
I wonder if you did. You know how you can do, like, a natural weed killer with vinegar and. I don't know what else. There's some other stuff. You just dump a ton of vinegar on it.
Yeah, it's like vinegar, Dawn, one part Dawn and something else.
Yeah, and something else. I can't remember, though.
But that same, you know, I mean, that's super acidic, so find out what the tree likes and give it the opposite.
Yeah, there is a natural one, but a tree's tough. Like, I've seen it take down like a dandelion, but.
But yeah, I didn't realize black walnuts were that hardy.
Yeah, that thing was thriving. That was the best thing about this. Chase had put some nails to it.
Keep the nails going. I don't know.
Yeah, good luck on
or
that.
Or a full sheet of copper. Lay it over the whole thing.
But if you had a neighbor with a goat would get in there and eat it all.
The goat's a good idea.
But they'll eat everything else, too. Be careful.
She may have stumped us.
Okay. Our next one is from Chris F. Oh, this is a long one because I thought Maggie was going to be reading it. A year ago, I bought a camp in Maine. It's just over a half acre with 600 square feet mobile home that was built in 1960 on it. At some point, a peaked metal roof was added over the trailer. Since then, I found out that it was an illegal lot. The trailer was moved there after the town set a minimum lot size of 1 acre. I worked with the town, and for now they designated the lot as a personal campsite, which allows the current trailer to stay. Problem is that I can't replace it with anything other than a true camper, RV, or camp trailer. I can try to acquire enough land to make it a full acre. I can rebuild the current trailer. My question is this. Do you guys know how much of the trailer can I rebuild before it's considered a new structure? Can I strip it to the chassis, or do I have to leave the exterior walls? The downside of rebuilding the trailer is that my insurance company would never recognize the value as anything more than a 1960 mobile home, but it may be cheaper than trying to acquire another half acre.
He's got himself a conundrum.
Yeah. I hesitate to even make any recommendations on this one. But if I were to,
Nice hesitation. It's about half a second.
I mean, typically we deal a lot of regulations where if you put more than 50% of the value of the structure into renovations, you need to bring it up to code as much as possible. So that may be the case.
Yeah, it kind of loses its grandfather status if
right,
you do that.
Right. So that may be the case with that as well. This is something to look into, but definitely consult with the town and your local ordinances.
Yeah. It's like if is he in a forest with like tons of land around, like
right.
where Farmer right. Smith might like let go half an acre or but you also read all these other things like tricks people do, like put tires or wheels on something.
Yeah.
I saw one thing where a guy couldn't have a deck, so he put like a deck on a trailer and like backed it up to his house.
Sure. Yeah, and a lot of times too, I mean, it's all about interpretation. A lot of times or sometimes we'll run into where if the deck becomes attached to the structure, then it's part of the structure. Whereas if it's not attached at all, it's a freestanding, you know, and they consider it almost like a shed or something in place, which is allowable. So you just have to get creative with the – you just have to get creative.
But do some research, because one thing I've learned in, you know, going to towns and planning boards and all this stuff is they don't tell you how to get from point A to point B. You have to do the work and figure it out yourself, you know. So just – do the research. You might find something that's going to help you out. You know, you might learn of a law or a rule, or at least find out which way to go financially. Because, you know, it is tough. You put all that money into that, and it's still considered a mobile home.
Right. Or maybe look into, you know, down the tiny house route. You know, because those are specifically on axles because they're mobile and they don't fall into the same category. Well, they're starting to change that a little bit, but that might be a route that's possible as well.
I wonder how real estate transactions like that work. Like, you know, somewhere down the line, someone pulled something.
Right.
I wonder if there should be a process where everything gets reviewed. Because, I mean, I've heard about people buying a lot and they come to find out, like, couldn't get a soil test on it. Or, you know, like.
Yeah.
That's why you need a good real estate agent.
That is true.
We know where you can find one.
Yeah.
Our buddies own Belgrade, Lake Point. But, yeah, do some research. Talk to your town, talk to the code enforcement officer, and talk to your neighbors.
Yeah, good luck.
All right. Joe would like to know, I'm planning on replacing crumbling poured in place concrete posts supporting our porch with 18-inch diameter, 6-inch thick precast concrete pads. I've noticed on your projects you put rigid foam insulation and crushed stone under these pads. I could not find anything about this online, so could you provide specifics as to types of thickness of insulation and type and depth of stone?
The reason he couldn't find it is because it's a patented galvanized process.
Well, I'm going to start the same thing. Check your local ordinances first. Make sure. I know some towns, it all depends on where you are and what you've got for the rest of your
structure.
You know, if it's attached, was it? Did they say if it was a deck or not?
Supporting our porch.
Yeah, you know, if you've got a full foundation, well, if you've got a full foundation and you're re-supporting the porch, you might want to think about going below the frost line so that it doesn't shift when the house isn't going to. If the camp or you know if the main structure is on posts. You know, you want to try and match what's there as much as possible so that it all moves together. That being said, typically it depends on your soil, you know, whether it's a wet area, clay area, how much frost gets into the ground, how much moisture is in the ground. And then, you know, typically we'll do the pucks are what,
18
inches. So we'll cut a piece of foam
two by two.
Yeah.
And a bed of crushed gravel. And
yeah.
I mean, I've seen them not move for years and years and years. Or you can get a spot. Like, every place is different. That's the hardest thing. But the great thing about those, if they do move, you can always adjust them.
Right. And it's all about getting a good, compact base that's going to – I mean, that's why we put the crushed stone down, is to get a good, compact base where the water will drain away so that it's not going to cause the frost.
Yeah, water's your biggest enemy.
Yep. And Jedi's a big fan, I think, of cutting around the circle, you know, doing an exact footprint. Yep. You know, it really kind of depends on your area.
I'm a big proponent of them.
Yep.
They're great. Like, they're cost effective, and you know, they can, suppose they can make it through the main climate. They can make it through anywhere.
Yes.
Great answer.
Thanks, Maggie.
Yeah, all right, that's all of our project pointers for today.
That was a great project pointer session this time.
Yeah.
We didn't have a video in a while.
I know. Keep them coming. Podcast at maincabmaster.com.
Please send photos. Please.
And, yeah, check back in another season about your walnut tree.
Can't wait to hear about that.
I'm sure we'll add see some more copper nails.
I know. I'm sure.
We'll see Cynthia
I'm sure
this
we'll
summer.
Hear about it. All right. Do we have any fan
funny.
Questions?
We sure do, Chase.
All right.
So we're going to answer this first question because we haven't done it at all this year.
If it's about refrigerator doors.
It's not about the refrigerator door, but maybe we should just go ahead and answer that one again, too. Lonnie Brown would like to know, how can you do what you do on a camp for such small amount of money and still get a salary and pay your workers?
Magic.
The budget. The budget question.
The budget. So the budget.
Where you want to start?
The budget you see on TV is what the camp owner puts into the project.
Their financial commitment.
Yes. And we try and stick to that budget as best as possible. There's always some incentive from the production side of things. There's, you know, companies that want to work with us for discounted products.
And we get paid an appearance fee. And the company, Kennebec Property Services, that all the construction goes through, breaks even if we're lucky.
Yep.
And what we do is we pass on what we pay for goods and services is what the customer pays. We pay a guy $25 an hour plus $4 for this and $6 for that. That's what the customer pays. And for materials, same thing. That's huge.
It is.
You know.
But what's different about this is we come up with a budget at the very beginning with the camp owners and then try and get there, you know, get as much as the camp owners want done as possible within that budget. So there's different levels of construction, carpentry, you know, from fine home building to basic framing. So we kind of figure out what's going to work within that budget. And truly, we save a lot by not having the homeowners there telling us exactly what they want or asking them exactly what they want.
And not changing stuff. Like,
yep,
one and done.
They give us the freedom and the trust to go in and get what they want done as best as possible so that it works with the building.
And like, starting out, we reused so much stuff, and we recycled so much stuff. And as we've grown, our buying power has gotten bigger. Like, all the local goods places, like lumber yards, notice scratch and dent will take. Seconds we take.
Misordered windows.
Anything. And yep. But that goes from Hammond Lumber to the appliance places to the paint shops. Like, everyone knows. Like, we will go through and dig through your old stuff, stuff that nobody wants.
Yep.
Because the homeowner's not involved, we can use it.
It's still good. You know, we still use quality materials. It's just not necessarily the quality materials that somebody would go in and pick out on their own, I guess.
Because everyone wants the newest, fanciest stuff. Right. You know, like, well, but we use that, and it looks great. But, like, you wouldn't get to that conclusion before, like, right.
And the amount of eastern white pine we use is...
Throw it at it.
Yeah. It's, you know, we are fortunate to be in a heavily forested state with lots of local sawmills. You know, that helps with the budget. We just buy flats of the stuff. And again, you know, all these cost-saving methods add up.
And it truly is camp. Like, we don't go back to the miter saw 10 times. Like, it looks great. You know, it's a big picture, but if someone that did the fine carpentry came and looked closer, they might not like some things they see. But it's camp.
Yes.
You know, and we're all about stretching that money and you know, making the biggest impact we can.
Correct.
Sometimes I often think about the same project, whether it had a $30,000, $50,000, or $70,000 budget. We could do the same project in those different budgets, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know, it depends on, like, do we face nail?
Right.
Are we using just shiplap? Are we using nice tongue and groove?
Yep. Camp grade, number 4. I mean, and like the Lefebvre is a perfect example. Like, that old place was rotting into the ground. We tore off the old roof, which, you know, there wasn't much to it. We used 4x8 beams as our rafters, decked that over, screw down roof. We got it up out of the ground, replaced rotted sills. You know, we did a lot, but we left these as much side in as we could. We didn't
patch it right in.
We just painted the interior. We didn't close in any walls in there and just, you know, patched in the floor and put a new pine floor on top of it. Really just get it back to working order.
It all adds up.
Yes.
Big time.
All right. Stephen Munkin would like to know, how do you keep the wood-boring bees out of the pine?
Wood-boring beetles or bees?
It says bees. Do we have wood-boring bees?
No. Sounds pretty... I'm surprised we don't lately. Ticks and the rashy caterpillars and all that.
I think that's actually one of the reasons I selected this, because I'd never heard of a wood-boring bee before.
We do have wood-boring beetles and grubs.
Yep.
That... So a lot of times, like, you'll go to Hammond Lumber and see their log yard, and they're spraying water on it in the summertime. Well, that's kind of for great blue stain, too. But if you leave logs freshly cut on, like, pine logs on the ground for...
A couple days.
A couple days, the beetles will get right into it and just start... I mean, you can hear them chewing at it.
I always wonder why they were wetting those piles down.
Yeah.
But that's more for, like, for the beetles and for blue stain.
What's so blue stain?
It's like when the wood gets that... bluish, grayish.
Oh, yep.
Shade to it, you know, streaks of it through the wood.
I thought it was so it didn't dry too, like before it goes in the.
I mean, I think to keep the moisture level up. I mean.
Multi-purpose.
Yes.
But there's that. What else? There's the ash boring beetle too. That's a problem and stuff. Like.
That's getting bad, isn't it? It's like the thing in Southern Maine.
But like Chase said, the bigger lumber companies, they, you know, they don't waste anything. The stuff that does get that might go to chips and stuff. Like, they're doing so much volume. Mm-hmm. Good stuff goes to certain boards and. Grid like that.
So back to the bees. Anybody know about these bees?
I've never heard of bees.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I think he meant beetles.
Should we Google it?
I hope it doesn't exist. What are those big bees out west that are like that?
Oh,
the
gosh.
Murder hornets?
Oh, murder hornets.
Yeah. What boring bees.
Carpenter ants, they take a little bit longer to get established.
There's a carpenter bee.
Really?
Yeah.
In Maine?
That's how we deal with them. They're not here.
Great. Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Move to Maine. You don't have that problem.
Like, we don't have termites.
No.
But we do have carpenter ants.
But Home Depot has a whole article on how you can get rid of them. Google.
And the carpenter ants can get bad.
Yep.
Like, I mean, we've gone into places and it's just dust.
Yep.
Like, what is the other one? The powder
post beetles. Yeah, there was a lot of that at headquarters when we first got going here.
And the escargot.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we'd hit that and like...
That's right. And, dry rot. Rot.
Mm. Rot.
Rot. Good old rot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lauren would like to know, I'm a retired contractor in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Over the years, I've done a lot of the same type of work you do. Do you ever have to deal with building inspectors? We actually get this question quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, certain areas.
Yeah, like some areas are, you know, more intense than others, but because we're doing usually seasonal, the process is not as involved.
Right.
But there's always a plumbing inspector. We always have to get the plumbing pressure tested.
Yep. Some towns require framing inspections, foundation or footing inspections, insulation inspections. Some have electrical inspections. It all depends on the area, but typically that's more a Southern Maine thing.
But once in a while, we get thrown a curveball.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, my. So you always got to, we run this, we get going so fast, you got to slow down. Like, do we get the permits for this? Like, it's much better not to have to beg for forgiveness in that aspect.
It's true.
And it can vary so much from one town to the next.
Completely.
I mean, exact opposites.
Yep. Yeah, one town will allow spiral staircases. The one right beside it won't.
Yeah, do your homework.
There's towns that don't allow spiral staircases.
Yeah, yep. Not to code.
Interesting.
Yep, or ship's ladders too. Like, just, it's challenging.
I know of a beautiful town where none of that matters, but I'm not telling anybody. God, love that place.
All right, well, that's all our questions.
Perfect.
And once again, I failed at my timekeeping duties, so I have no idea where we're at.
We're cruising through life.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. But yes, thank you for the questions. Yeah. Keep them coming. Podcast at maincabmaster.com. And Now we're on to a few products we have in store. Some beautiful encaustic art by Helene Farrar.
These are so cool.
I believe Ashley did a field trip with her.
We have an encaustic Dougie. Encaustic Gussie.
And the Buccaneer downstairs. Yeah. But these are winterscapes and fallscapes. It's old tradition. It's hot pigmented wax. And then she, you know, puts a wax on. We actually have a chicken at our house, too. So,
where did you think that came from?
Like Egyptians.
Just lonely nights in a cold place with candles? Like, that's a 10-candle night. I'm going to do a Monet. It's pretty cool, the depth, though, and color she gets. It's really amazing.
Yeah, and they're easily maintained. She said if they start getting dull or something, you just take a little, you know, a little water on a rag, just wipe it down, buff it back out so it shines.
Oh, I don't ever thought about that. It kind of freaked me out.
Yeah.
You don't bring a light in here.
No. Keep it away from direct flames or bright sunlight.
Don't put it near the wood stove.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine that.
That would be sad. But she's got, so we have these actual artwork in the store and some cards and prints as well. So I believe they're on the website as well. Check them out. They're beautiful. And she's local. She's right next door.
Downtown Worldwide.
Yep.
Manchester, Maine. Beautiful downtown.
She offers art classes as well. So,
and she's a great neighbor.
Yeah. If you're coming down to headquarters, check out her studio.
Helene from Maine. Yep. All right.
Speaking of Maine. I think you knew this
Maine
one, didn't
trivia.
You?
Do you remember what question it was?
Let me see.
I know which one I want it to be, but it's probably not that one.
Yep. Who was the first artist to... See, I would pick a different one. Interesting. Who was the first artist to receive the President John F. Kennedy's Freedom Medal?
One of the Wyeths.
I'd say one of the Wyeths.
NC?
I'd say... I'm going to say Andrew. Probably N.
I have nothing.
Oh, the mom. Oh, the... What? Andrew.
Andrew! Yeah. Interesting.
Another one for you, Chase.
Yeah.
Which famous cosmetic tycoon was hostess to many celebrities at her estate in Mount Vernon?
Estee Lauder.
And as a bonus question, what is this estate now?
Travis Mills Retreat.
Cool.
I would ask this one, the Mocha one.
Where does the Mocha hold their picnic? And Mocha stands for, not Mofka, Mocha.
No, nope. Mocha, M-O-C-A, Mocha.
Where do they hold their picnic?
Yeah.
Maine Outdoor Canoe Association?
I know, but I saw the answer.
Old Town, Maine.
It's like a place. Whoa. Not a town. It's like a spot in a town that just about every town has.
Gazebo.
Nope.
Moga. In cemeteries. MOCA stands for the Maine Old Cemetery Association.
MOCA.
Mm-hmm. I've never met anyone from MOCA, but if I did, I would judge them.
It's a weird association to join.
That's weird. Mm. Well, if you had the correct answer and it was the first into our podcast at MaineCabinMasters.com, you're going to get a lovely gift.
Yep.
You knew it was a Wyeth. Had to have been.
Yes, right.
I just saw where Colby College bought the island, one of the islands they had. Oh, and nice. They endowed a bunch of it, and then Colby bought the rest of it.
Oh, very cool.
Where?
Off the coast of Port Clyde.
Oh.
Where a couple of the famous paintings are from.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Which one should we do? Okay. What Maine man was nominated as the presidential candidate of the Prohibition Party during the 1980 election?
1980?
Yeah.
Oh, that we were around then. Barely.
Yeah, 1980.
What party?
Didn't we already have him as an answer?
I don't know. Did we?
I think so.
All right.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I just gave a clue. If I'm right, I might not even be right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, no one's going to know for another week. How am I going to be able to sleep?
It's going to be more than that because we're about to take a 2-week break. Sorry, guys. We're about to take a 2-week break.
Oh, yeah. Chase going on vacation.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, we could have had Ashley come in again.
Well, maybe we won't take a 2-week break.
Oh, if I have Wi-Fi.
It'll be a surprise. You want to zoom in from Iceland?
That would be fun.
Possible.
No, you don't. You want to go on vacation with your family. You don't want to think about us.
I'll be sitting in a hot spring.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. All right.
We'll talk next week. And
see I'll
if
be complaining about the weather still.
Stay tuned. We may or may not have another podcast for 2 weeks.
Again, if you guys have the right answer to that question, please send it to podcast@maincabinmasters.com. First correct answer, we'll get a wonderful gift.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks, Jen, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we always want to thank our sponsors, Nelma, Hero Media Network, Hammond Lumber Company, Kennebec Savings Bank, and From the Woodshed, we'll be talking to you.
From the Woodshed has been brought to you by Nelma, see the stamp, trust the quality. Hammond Lumber, your building project partner. Kennebec Savings Bank, helping our local community save, thrive, and grow for over 150 years. And Hero Media Network, connecting small business with new customers. From the Woodshed is a production of Kennebec Cabin Company. See you next time.